Our sermon passage will be Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 5. When an officer turns on his lights and his siren as he drives down the road, the driver pulls over because he recognizes the authority that's placed in that vehicle and in the badge that officer wears. As you dine in the house and the host says to you, "You sit over there," or "Come sit over here," you do, because you recognize the owner of the house is speaking. What about the authority of the one by whose command life itself begins? What do you do when this one invites you to dine at his table? You run to the one who speaks in miracles. You run to that one who speaks in miracles. This Gentile centurion in our passage now comes to the Lord. For his own good reasons, the Lord has allowed this man to recognize who he truly is. And this man's spirit answers the call. But what you'll see is that he's not even asking for himself. He's asking on behalf of someone else. And in his faithfulness, the Lord responds with a word. And in that word, a miracle is done. Hear now the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to about 13. "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion said, 'Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it.' Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to those who were following, 'Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west, and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed.' And the servant was healed that very moment." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, each and every one of us. Does your faith have its roots in your heart? Hear verses 10 and 11 again. "Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, 'Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.'" Now, what is our Lord talking about here? He found in this Gentile centurion a greater faith than he found in his own people, who failed to recognize him and to accept him as Lord. And so what happened? Another was allowed to come in. Another was allowed to come in. Many, he said, would come from the east and from the west. And when you see that kind of language in Scripture, it's talking about people groups, a variety of people groups. When you see the word say, they'll come from the east, they'll come from the west, you're getting a picture of a variety of types of people. And when we see east and west here, our Lord is not talking about the Jews. He's opening the door for people like me and for people like you to come in and become a part of the kingdom. And what we see is that unless your faith is, like with the centurion, heart-rooted, your end will be destruction. Verse 12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, reading this, it might be a little confusing for you. You go straight from kingdom of heaven to problems with sons of the kingdom. What is our Lord saying here? Listen to this quote from C.H. Spurgeon. It is a terrible truth, for it says, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Now, who are those children? I will tell you. The children of the kingdom are those people who are noted for the externals of piety, but who have nothing of the internals of it. People whom you will see with their Bibles and hymn books marching off to chapel as religiously as possible, or going to church as devoutly and demurely as they can, looking as somber and serious as parish beadles, and fancying that they are quite sure to be saved, though their hearts are not in the matter. Nothing but their bodies. These are the persons who are the children of the kingdom. They have no grace, no life, no Christ, and they shall be cast into outer darkness. I'd like to take this a little bit further, because I think we can. I think we can, and be a bit more specific. While his description is accurate, I believe that what Jesus is doing here is warning unbelieving Jews. Warning unbelieving Jews, and the reason I believe that comes from Acts chapter 13. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. It's just a little bit that I want to read to you. This is from Acts chapter 13. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. The centurion's a Gentile. So, who should be a son of the kingdom but a Jew? But the Jews rejected him. And so here we are seeing a living demonstration of the turn to the Gentiles. And what else do we see here in this centurion? We see that real faith, your real faith in the real God, gets real results. Verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. The centurion went to the real God, the same God that you serve if you believe in him. And in his faith, asked for help for someone else, a servant of his. This was a monumental step. Imagine a centurion, a servant of Rome, going to a Jewish religious leader to ask for help for his servant. No doubt he was the subject of ridicule by his peers for this. But he showed love for that servant. How he must have cared for him to make such a gesture that took him completely out of his class standing. And in that love, he saw a miracle. Jesus is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. The centurion believed. He believed so much, he didn't even bother to say, please come to my house and perform this act. He said, just say the word. Just say the word. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Faith does this. Take hold of this kind of faith in your life, beloved. Take hold of it. Here verses 5 through 7. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. How amazing. How amazing that our Lord opened up to this man. But again, it was prophesied that this would happen. That the Lord, that salvation would come to the Gentiles. This man's faith resulted in the healing of someone else. Now, we aren't told exactly what was wrong with the servant, except that he was paralyzed and fearfully tormented. Perhaps that fearful torment came from being paralyzed. I could imagine if I found myself suddenly unable to move, the kind of fear that I would have. I do think that torment is a fitting word for that. And he sought out the Lord. Now, the Lord had just come down from giving the Sermon on the Mount. That means the centurion had to look for him. There's no real indication between the end of the Sermon on the Mount and this moment that says days had passed or weeks. We don't know for certain, but it does not seem that way. So this centurion must have been aware of what was going on and went intentionally looking for him. Because of that faith and that love for someone else, the Lord answered. Here are verses 8 and 9 of this passage. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. True authority needs only to speak. The Lord God created this world by speaking. He rose Lazarus from the dead by speaking. Now, there were times that he chose to do things in other ways. For example, the healing of the blind man, where he spat on the ground and rubbed the mud on his eyes repeatedly until he could see. He had his own reasons for that. But clearly, if he had chosen to, all he would have needed to do was speak. Do you see that this Jesus is God? All he needs to do is speak. There were those who thought they could do something similar. The prophets of Baal, for example. Do you remember when Elijah went up against them at Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18? There were a total of over 800 and 50 lying prophets there that he went up against. He had his side. He was on God's side. They were on their side. Each built up piles of dry wood, made a sacrifice of oxen on top of them. And the time came to complete the sacrifice by burning it. And Elijah said, okay, you go first. Call out to your God. They called out to their God over and over and over, and nothing happened. They got desperate and they began to cut themselves, a religious practice some still do today to impress their God. And their results are the same as what the prophets got. Absolutely nothing. And they tried and they sweat and they strained and they failed. And so Elijah says, okay, let's make this interesting. Pour water on my dry wood. And they did. Now, if you've ever lit a fire, you know, lighting wet wood, it's next to impossible. You practically have to put gasoline or something on it. So what happens? These 850 prophets look on as Elijah calls out to his God. He speaks to God, and God inflames a sacrifice. The words, this time of his prophet, to God, to God's glory, and God was magnified. How good is it that this one who speaks in miracles wrote it down? So now you have his word. You have his word. You have access to the greatest authority over all creation for your every hope, for your every dream, for your every fear, for your every doubt. And when you forget what he said, it's written down. He wrote it down for you. This one who speaks in miracles condescended to put his word in print for us. This is the God you serve, if you serve God. This is the treasure you have. None of the world has this. None of them. So, when you see that ISIS has killed another 100 people, so when you hear of earthquakes taking lives, when you hear of plagues, when you see layoffs, when you doubt your own future, remember that of all the important things in life, God has spoken. What is important? Love the Lord your God with all that you are, and your neighbor as yourself. What has he promised? He has promised salvation to those who trust in him. This is the God who speaks in miracles, and he's put that same word in print. This is your rock. Stand on it. Stand on it. Run to him. Run to his word. Run to him in prayer. Pray as Elijah did, believing. Run to him in faith, as the centurion did, for somebody else. Humble yourself. Be like the father of the prodigal son, who disgracefully, this rich man, gathered his garments together and ran down the field to meet the son who had so mistreated him and disrespected him. This is the kind of love and faith you take to the one who speaks in miracles. You, beloved, have over all men the surest faith of all. So run to the one who speaks in miracles. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would forgive us, Lord, for wherever we have sinned against you this day, wherever we have doubted your promise, wherever we have allowed anxiety to rule our actions, if we have allowed some drug or alcohol to become an idol for us, if we have allowed the size of our wallet to be our security, if we have hated someone, or if we have loved sin, we repent, Lord, and beg your forgiveness, because we have your word written, sure for the ages, and in you we place our whole trust, because you speak miracles. You say it, and it is so, and you're not over one house. You're not the commander of a troop. You're not the president of a country. You are God Almighty over all of creation. You are the authority. You have made us your people, and we can never thank you enough, but we'll try. Take us from this place, Lord, with our hearts and minds stayed on you, no matter what. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.